Hi, welcome to NWR Newscast, episode 18. I'm your host for this week's episode, Neil Ronahan. And I just graduated college today,
Woo! So
that's awesome. And the rest of the gang is here. This is our first show in a while with just the regular old Newscast trio. We got Zach Miller, up in Alaska, the Great White North.
It's now summer.
Oh, so that means the sun is out?
We'd forgotten what summer was. that means rain, by the way. It's no longer snowing, it's just raining.
And that laugh you heard just before was Andy Gergen, who's back after, a month break almost? I was going to say a week break, but that's...
Yeah, I guess it's been about a month since I've recorded a podcast. Work's been super, super busy lately, and I just didn't have time to record last time. I could have, but I would have been coming off of like a 13-hour workday, and it didn't seem like it would have made for a very entertaining podcast for me. And I'm hoping my day-to-day routine gets a little more back to normal shortly so I can actually start contributing to the damn site again. But yes, I am back for the time being, which is feels good to be back recording and also back writing again.
Heck
yay!
Yeah.
And so this week's episode, we're going to go through what is the usual slate of things. We got news stories, we got what you're reviewing, and another what you're doing, because I guess I'm just not reviewing that much, although that will change very, very soon.
Yep, yes. E3 coming around the corner, sure.
Oh, the hatred.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I got Prince of Persia, The Forgotten Sands, and Trauma Team both in today.
I had completely forgotten about Trauma Team. I had too. When I was researching the reviews for the show notes, I was like, Trauma Team? Like, I haven't heard anything about that game, and it seems like a couple of months.
I remember a preview for it, you jackass. Why didn't you read it?
I've been busy.
This was like 4 months ago.
Yeah, I know. You wrote a preview 4 months ago, right?
Yeah.
I'm saying I haven't heard anything in about a month.
It got delayed. I know it got delayed because it was supposed to come out, I think, mid early April, and then it got delayed to May.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I haven't heard anything about it. Like, I can't think of any like promotional emails or like previews I've seen.
Really?
In the last month.
Like a fucking email from Atlus once a week about Trauma Team.
I must have that shit like mentally blocked out.
Yeah, Atlus does send out a lot of emails.
Have you played it yet, Neil?
No, I haven't played Trauma Team yet. I just I had a chance to put in a little bit of the Forgotten Sands,
nice.
Which We'll talk about later when we go into the retail releases. I haven't really put enough time into either game. Well, one of them I've literally put no time into to really talk anything of substance, but I can talk about them a little bit.
Yeah.
And rounding out the this episode will be the usual weekly downloads and new releases in which we'll talk about Prince of Persia, The Forgotten Sands, and Trauma Team, and more. But let's get down to business. And Dragon Quest IX is set for a July 11th release. It's coming out in North America, finally. It's being published by Nintendo.
Nice.
And it originally came out, it's almost a year to the day, I think. I believe it came out at the end of July.
It's exactly a year. According to Wikipedia, it's exactly a year.
Oh, damn, July it is 11th. Exactly a year. So that's pretty sweet. I know I'm very excited for this game, and we have some impressions from Aaron Kalutzka. From last week. Well, they just got posted today because they were embargoed, but he got to check out the game, and he says it's pretty good. I know I'm very, very excited for this game. I got bit by the Dragon Quest bug bad when I reviewed Dragon Quest V on DS the other year, and I've been looking forward to this game ever since.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I haven't played a Dragon Quest. I played a little bit of Dragon Quest VIII, so I shouldn't say I haven't played one in a long time. But
I always wanted to play Dragon Quest VIII, but
it's
I just never really got around to it. I know
10 to 15 hours, but like
I don't.
Really,
I know,
like,
Johnny always raves about Dragon Quest VIII. I think he's gone on record saying it's one of his favorite games ever.
It's it's really, really good at what it does. It's just it's really, really long, and my patience for RPGs is not what it once was. So I gave it about, I think, 12 to 15 hours and lost interest. But it was really good. I would recommend it to anybody who likes RPGs.
I think I put in like 30 hours and I was getting sick of it. I was just getting sick of it. And I asked a friend of mine at the time who was a big RPG fan, am I anywhere near the end? He's like, you're about halfway. And I said, nope, not anymore. I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's good news. I guess we now know what's on Nintendo's release schedule for early July, because we got Mario Galaxy coming out next week. Then we have Sin and Punishment 2 at the end of June, and this will kick off the beginning of July. So that still leaves the rest of the summer open, with the exception of Metroid Other M, which is still slated for an August release.
Are there any other really big DS games slated to hit? I can't think of anything else that comes to mind.
I mean, Pokemon Black and White. Well, okay, but, I mean, over true. The over the summer, like, I can't think of any other major releases. I would assume, slash, I really, really hope we'll hear something about the new Layton at E3.
Oh, sure, sure.
Which would be really cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll see about that.
But there's no Castlevanias on the horizon. There's no Zeldas. There's no
Yeah,
Metroids,
they haven't had any
no,
Castlevanias in a while.
There's no Star Foxes. There's no Mario Kart.
Did you see that Castlevania puzzle game that they're going to hawk at us?
Oh, yeah. I thought that was an iPhone game. Is it on DS too?
I don't think it's on DS. I think it's an iPhone game.
Yeah, iPhone only. That's where they're putting their 2D Castlevania effort.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they seem to be trying to gear up Castlevania for like to just revamp it entirely because the one that's on next gen consoles it wasn't even a Castlevania game to begin with. Well, and like Igarashi is not even really involved with it.
The sentiment that you gave last time, I'm not sure if it was last week or it was previous, I think you've said it multiple times, about Pokemon games, how you don't want them to change. That's how I feel about 2D Castlevania games. I know.
I agree. I completely
the same
agree.
Game every damn, you know, year. They put out 6 of them in the last 8 years, and there's only one of them that I haven't played, and I've liked all the ones that I've played a lot.
Like one of those, not really because it's not like I'm interested in them, it's just that I never get around to it. Like, those are really good games, and from what I hear, all of them are of around the same quality. I think, what is it, like, Portrait of Ruin is a piece of shit.
Didn't do much for me. I played the first hour of it 3 times and could never really get the interest to go past it.
But I mean,
Order of Ecclesia was really great, and Portrait
meaning to get that.
Dawn of Sorrow was really great. Aria of Sorrow was really great. Like these
I
games
smell
are...
an extra life.
Yeah, there you go. It's that. Yeah, I think some of those games are kind of hard to get a hold of these days, just because when you get them, you don't generally get rid of them because they're pretty good. But
and I think Ecclesia had a low production run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can track down,
which I think
Order
is also
Ecclesia,
it's also telling of probably why there aren't any more.
It's hard. Order of Ecclesia is hard.
Oh, it's very hard.
Yeah. I beat it. I enjoyed it.
Nice.
Good game. Anyway, moving on.
All right, so to the next news story. You know, we'll actually get back to relevancy here. Nintendo reveals Wii Party, which is the next game in the, I guess, Wii Blank series. It was revealed at a financial briefing in Japan. Satoru Iwata revealed it, and he said they are developing Wii Party with the aim to make it a marquee party game for Wii. They want to have a party title that Iwata said has an adequate volume of gameplay, and our news story says that seems to be an indirect reference to Wii Music, a title that was seen as a rare misstep for the company, drawing criticism for being too light on actual game content. And he also made a comment about how this is the next party game from Nintendo coming after Mario Party, which came out in 2007, the last one. It was a Mario Party 8 and sold over 7 million units. So, you know, Wii Party should be huge. So
this almost kind of feels like, this almost kind of like hints to me that when it comes to Mario being the sole mascot of the company, he's not really anymore. Like, they're still going to make Mario games, but as far as the face of the company is concerned, it's those three
Mii's.
Letters. It's those three letters and those Mii's. Like,
yeah.
Mario is no longer the face of Nintendo, and this is, like, a really good example of that.
I don't give two craps about Wii Party, honestly. Because it doesn't have online.
Yeah, that's
see, my one thing is that I think if another Mario Party game came out, I would really want to see it have online. But with Wii Party, I associate that more with Wii Sports, Wii Sports Resort, Wii Fit, which to me are social, like, you know, get my parents to come out and play video games kind of games, as opposed to Mario Party, which I wouldn't really call it, like, hardcore or anything, but let's put it this way, like, my parents would never play Mario Party, but I think they would be into Wii Party, at least the way they seem to have it set up. It looks very much like, you know, Mario Party with a big, like, Wii Sports overlay.
But Neil...
Or Mii overlay.
Neil, do you live with your parents?
Well, right now I do.
Oh, well, okay.
well,
normally.
No,
Andy,
I
do you live with your parents?
No, my parents.
I don't live with
my parents
either.
This. No, yes, exactly. I really don't. Like, I really think that they probably believe that there's no real desire for online play with most of the people that are going to be playing Wii Party.
Yes.
And I think they're probably right about that.
Yeah, no, that's what I was kind of meaning to say. Not necessarily, you know, I'm going to be playing Wii Party with my parents all the time, but it is that kind of thing where I mean, you hear it a lot where people, like, have Wii Sports and Wii Sports Resort, and they don't really play it until, like, some family gathering. And I feel like Wii Party would kind of be in that line, except for, I think, to the, like, you know, Zach, you enjoyed Wii Sports Resort. I think there's going to be that little bit of lack of overlap between, whereas Wii Sports Resort does have this kind of full game component. I don't know if Wii Party will have that full game component, although we really haven't seen much about the game to even say anything about that.
I just kind of see it like the kind of gamers that we are, we're always going to be interested in online play to some extent. If a game has it and we're going to play that game, we're probably going to try that game online. But the other kind of gamers that they've been courting, you know, the Oprah gamer, so to speak, to use a almost derogatory term at this point.
Derogatory, yes.
I like that.
Those type of gamers don't care about online. So if they're going to gear a game for that crowd or for everybody, but also including that crowd, I just don't see it as a priority for them. And I honestly can't fault them for that because it seems almost like it'd be unnecessary. For a first-person shooter, they need to have it. For a sports title, they need to have it. Maybe for a puzzle game or a fighting game, it would be nice. For a racing game,
not if
Mario
it turns
Kart.
Out like Brawl.
But I think there's a very good reason none of these Wii blank games have had online play.
Yeah, no, I mean I agree with you. And as someone who, you know, well, at least at this stage in my life, you know, I'm well. And now that I'm out of college, I'm living with my parents and trying to figure out what the hell I'm doing with my life. But I don't think that will. Hopefully, that won't be lasting too long. But as some of the, you know, I've been hanging out with my friends a lot recently, and we're social gamers in that we will, you know, play Brawl, play Perfect Dark on Xbox Live in the same room together. I'm not really going to play them online. I mean, maybe in the future I will, but right now I'm very much a local multiplayer kind of guy.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's why Wii Party interests me. I don't know how long it will interest me, but better come out soon, or else then I won't care about it anymore.
I seriously doubt that I'll be getting this unless my wife decides she wants it.
Do you think it'll be a highlight of E3? Like their big look at what we got this year?
If it is, I don't think E3 is going to be that good for Nintendo.
No, I think it will be. I think they've made it very clear that they don't present at E3 for us. I don't think anything's changed in the last.
I completely disagree. Because look at last year's. Last year was very much a presentation. I mean, Wii Music, okay. Like that year was a presentation for fucking no one. But last year's presentation, they spent time
on like the vitality sensor and stuff last year.
Yeah, but they didn't really spend a lot of time on the vitality
That's
sensor.
True.
Like a lot of the stuff was New Super Mario Bros. Wii, which is everyone. Super Mario Galaxy 2, which I would term as everyone. And Metroid Other M was there. I mean, of course, there's a random smattering of like small titles.
Sure, but they did turn it around a bit last year. I guess I'm still thinking about 2 years ago.
Yeah, Wii Music was,
but
was
I
terrible.
Still feel
I think I would like to think they learned from their mistake there, and I think that if this is a part of the E3 presentation, there will be an even bigger segment on Zelda and possibly, you know, some other title we haven't heard of.
But look at last year, Neil. They had Mario and they had Metroid, and they didn't really have Zelda, but they did have Wii Sports Resort.
Yeah, sure.
Oh yeah,
and that was their big deal title.
Any title with Wii blank as the name is a marquee title for them. Maybe not in terms of the kind of games we're interested in, but in terms of the kind of games they push and they market. And E3 is a big marketing stage, so I expect.
I just don't think this will be the biggest game at E3.
No, I don't think.
I think it will be at E3. It will have a presence at E3, but I don't think it will be like Nintendo's like the game that everyone's talking about.
Oh God, no! I hope you're right.
If it is, then there's going to be problems.
I hope that game is Zelda.
You know what we need? Yeah. We need 12 more months of pitching on forums. That's what we need. Bring it, Nintendo. Bring it on. Anyway. Sorry.
All right. Well, so Wii Party, it's coming out sometime in the fiscal year ending in March 2011. So we'll definitely. I would be shocked if we don't hear anything at E3.
I think it's a holiday
game. To our next news story, apparently Nintendo is considering charging for online play, or at least they could. Comes out of an interview with Edge that Shigeru Miyamoto was, he was the subject of the interview. And the quote from him is, "Probably the other thing that we are desperate to realize is the core online business structure. Do we need to demand customers to pay monthly fees to enjoy online activities, or give an online subscription that is free of charge, but then offers something extra for people that pay so that they can get some extra value. With these core business strategies, I think we are less active than we should be. So,
such bullshit.
Hey, if they want to pay...
Go on!
If they want to charge, fine. They just better deliver a product that's worth paying for.
Exactly.
Yeah, in all honesty, I don't think any Nintendo online service here is really worth paying for. Like, if they were like, yeah, if you want to see Nintendo Week each week, you're going to have to pay money. No, I'll just see it on YouTube.
I agree, like, but... Like I'm saying, like if they try to charge for the product they're currently putting out, that's baloney. But if they want to charge for an online platform, I'm willing to consider it, assuming the product is there. And if they're trying to sell their current online product at a monthly fee, well, then they will probably be very disappointed to find that no one will buy it.
Mm-hmm. They have to have a working online gameplay structure.
But I mean, I'm an Xbox Live subscriber. And maybe be open to it. I'm okay with paying for Xbox Live. I think it's
a valuable
service.
That Xbox Live is really, really well put together. I mean, there's still issues with it, but it's far and away the best of the three, and I'll pay $50 a year for that, even if
it's
I might not
than
use
the
it
PSN.
Terribly often.
PSN is free.
Yeah, well, I mean, I still don't think PSN's interface is that great, but that's just me.
PSN's getting there, I guess, from what I've
read.
Yeah,
I still think that PSN is playing catch up.
But I'm just saying that if they want to charge for it, I'm willing to give that some thought. The product's just got to be there, and I don't know that I believe they can put together a competent product that I would be willing to pay for. But sure, I mean, go for it, try it out, make something better than what you have right now. If I had the choice of paying for Xbox Live on Wii, I would do that. Like if they wanted to charge me for something that worked like Xbox Live worked, hell yeah, I'd pay for that.
Hmm.
It would allow me to play Brawl via an Xbox Live like interface. Hell yeah, I'd pay for that. Yeah. Or you know, Brawl or you know, get. I would assume a monthly fee would include demos of games. I would have to assume that. These kind of things like. To me, that comment, I'm taking the optimistic route, which is basically, oh, they're looking to improve
their
online functionality.
That Nintendo would actually put effort into it.
Right. If they're going to take their current product and charge me money for it, well, then that's just less money that I'll be giving them.
All right. Well, that goes it for the full feature news stories. So let's run down some quick hits. First up, Harvest Moon Grand Bazaar is going to be coming out on DS this July. It's... the next in the Harvest Moon series. Usually they come out with a DS version or a Wii version. Right now we do not know about the Wii version, but I'm sure it will be revealed soon, and it will probably be playable at E3. Any comments on Harvest Moon?
Where's Lauren?
Yeah.
She's not here right now, or else she would comment on it. I'm sure she would.
One of these days I'm going to give a Harvest Moon game a shot, besides the one
I
played for GameCube.
Lauren put... over 100 fucking hours. Well, no, I think it was her and her roommate the year that Tree of Tranquility came out. Between the two of them, they put in, I think, 120 hours into that game.
So this is her Pokemon.
Yes, it is. And in all honesty, it looks kind of like Animal Crossing, but without the... It's like Animal Crossing-esque.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
But it's got
they're good games.
It's got a lot more gameplay because the whole farming aspect requires a bit of strategy. Yeah. Animal Crossing doesn't require any strategy.
Or effort.
Animal Crossing requires time.
It's one of those games that, like, if you're into it, you're into it. If you can't get into it, you probably won't play it.
But it's nice to know that they're still putting out new ones. I mean,
it's nice to know that they're still making new ones. Yeah, I'm glad that they are, and they're not just left in Japan.
Agreed.
And going down the list, our own the founder of Planet GameCube, which later became Nintendo World Report, which is the site that you should be visiting if you're listening to this podcast, NintendoWorldReport.com. Billy Berghammer, the founder of this very site, is going to be the editor in chief at EGM.
That's awesome.
So
Woo!
That is
That's
the
very,
new
very cool.
EGM, which had its first issue. I don't know if either of you guys checked out the first issue.
I saw it.
I really liked it. It's probably one of the best magazines I've read in a while, and I mean Game Informer and GamePro have been churning out some decent stuff lately since they both had their redesigns last fall. and I have my soft spot for Nintendo Power, but really EGM is far and away one of the best magazines I've read in a long time.
I need to get out there not just and one issue. That thing.
I didn't really like their EGM's most recent, before they fell apart, I didn't like their most recent redesign. Is the magazine formatted better now?
It's a lot different from how it used to be.
Yeah. Cool. So are they actually printing them, or are they just digital for now?
They have, I believe they have weekly digital issues, and then they have monthly issues.
Okay.
So far they've had one monthly issue that I've seen.
I wonder if it's on newsstands. I should go take a look at that.
Yeah, that's actually where I picked it up.
I should definitely look into that, because I would like to get a subscription to EGM. I've been a lifelong EGM subscriber. For the most part, I've kind of lapsed here and there, but I was there at the bitter end, and I've always liked their content. So,
yep.
Curious to see what it looks like now. I looked at a little bit of the digital one, but I didn't spend too much time staring at it.
Yeah, I haven't really dealt too much with the digital one, but I am interested to check it out at some point.
Right on. But congrats to Billy. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's always good to see how well people from the site do off on the industry. And, I mean, he's been a Game Informer, G4, and now EGM.
He's all over the place.
Much hit it all. And moving on to the next quick hit, EA announces Hasbro Family Game Night 3, which includes the titles Clue, The Game of Life, Twister, Mousetrap, and Yahtzee Hands Down. And it will feature full Mii support this year and local multiplayer for up to 4 players.
Okay, I'm just picturing building Mousetrap and knocking it over on my TV over and over again. I could just do that for hours. That's ridiculous. No, I have a friend who works as a manager at GameStop, and I've heard him tell me that the Hasbro Family Game Nights are actually a lot of fun. But I have never played
I call bullshit on that. The first one is a piece of shit.
Oh, well, fair enough.
The first one was like pretty much unplayable. It's like you're better off just actually getting the games. I mean, I could see, like, I think the idea of it is really good, and maybe the second one was better. I believe Pedro reviewed it and gave it a pretty good score, and it was a pretty good review of it. But it just, I feel like some of those things just don't translate to video games that well.
Yeah, right on.
But I mean, I can definitely see it being fun if it's made right, and hopefully, you know, by the third one, they're doing it right.
So one of the games is Clue?
Yes.
Interesting. I'm kind of curious how that would work multiplayer, because you kind of have your own little sheet to keep track of. So
yeah, huh. Maybe it'll be like Scrabble on the iPhone, and everyone needs to have an iPhone to have their word tiles or the iPad.
Maybe everyone needs to have a DS to play Clue on the Wii. Finally, a game that'll have the largest possible demographic. Wii owners who also are DS owners who really want to play Clue but don't have access to the $12 board game. Fantastic.
And I guess the last quick hit that we have is Scribblenauts has got a name, or Scribblenauts 2. It's now Super Scribblenauts, which is kind of funny because I remember hearing them talk about how, like, we're not calling it Scribblenauts. It's going to be something completely different. And sure enough, it's just fucking Super Scribblenauts, like, for real? Like, you're talking about how different this game is going to be. I think this is just going to be an incremental upgrade.
Me too.
It's going to be cool. I mean, I hope it'll be better than the first one, but I don't think it's going to be anything too major. And the way they were talking early on was that this was going to be a major update to the game, and it really just seems like it's a fucking roster update.
Sounds like it's got a control patch. I mean, they're fixing the controls, right?
Yeah.
Every bit of press I've seen about this game so far mentions that they're fixing the controls. They really want us to know that they're fixing the controls.
But notice that none of the press releases say we've put in D-pad control. It just says improved touchscreen control.
I believe they have said that they're using D-pad control, though.
I haven't heard that
since very early on, so it could have changed, and if it did, ugh.
It did seem like in the most recent press release they were trying to go out of their way to avoid saying that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It makes you a little nervous, but I don't know. I played the first one a little bit. I still own it, but I haven't done much with it. I'm not sure how much longer I'm going to own it, to be honest.
I mean, I enjoyed it. It's just that there was a lot of problems with it.
That game could be funding PS3, and it's not right now. That's all I'm saying.
It could be funding me getting another game.
There you go. That too. Yeah, and I mean that was the only thing. That was the only thing announced about it in the press release, right? Was the name. The, everything else was old.
Yeah, pretty much. Everything else is, you know, they're adding adjectives, blah 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 blah. Go listen to the newscast where we talked about it before.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that they're not calling it Scribblenauts 2.
Just and that's the thing is that, like, I just remember reading everything that they were like, we're not, it's not going to be Scribblenauts 2, it's going to be something completely different, and it's just super Scribblenauts. Like, I just feel like this is a Street Fighter update now.
Yeah,
like,
maybe someone convinced them the game was coming out in 1994.
Yeah.
We got to make it Super. It's for the Super Nintendo, right? Super Wii.
So the next game will be Super Scribblenauts 64. Turbo.
Turbo, yeah.
Oh, no, Scribblenauts 64.
Either one. Yeah. It works.
It'll come out on
it
Wii
works
64.
Either way. It'll be, it'll really be Scribblenauts, the new challengers.
Scribblenauts Championship Edition.
Rival Scribblenauts.
Then they'll make one out of clay and so on and so on.
Scribble Fighters 63 and a third.
Clay Knot 63
that,
and a third. Wow.
That does
okay,
it. That does us for news. So we're going to move on to a little thing that we do called What You Reviewing. And we're going to kick off with Andy. And Andy, what games do you have to talk about this week?
I've got two games, although one of them I don't have much to say about. I've been spending a lot of time playing Picross 3D, and I was thinking, were you talking
about
this last week?
So good. What?
I edited the damn show, and I don't remember. Did you mention this last week?
Yes. Okay. I believe I mentioned something about how you would want to punch me in the face because I was talking about a game.
Yep.
Yeah, you were talking about a game that I didn't quite have yet, I think, at the time that you recorded it. Yeah, I was kind of frothing its mouth to get this one because I'm a big fan of the original Picross. I've been looking forward to this one for quite a while, and you know it really delivers. It's exactly what you want it
to be. It's so good.
It's just really addictive because none of the puzzles, at least none of the ones that I've been doing, have taken longer than about like 15 to 20 minutes. Like some of them take 25 minutes, maybe if you're really being slow. Most of them are 10 minute puzzles. And you just, yeah, I mean, they're just really addictive. You just go one after another. It's like freaking popcorn. It's like popcorn.
I mean, Lauren wrote about it in her impressions when it came out on launch because we basically, because what happened was I got shipped a copy and I just bought a copy, or like it was a couple days before it came out. So I just bought a copy on Amazon and then got shipped to Andy because I was going to get the game anyway.
Mm.
And Lauren and I basically just fought over the game for the entire weekend.
That's right.
And then I was like, all right, you can have it, but you have to write impressions of it for the day it comes out. So she did. And she made a reference about how it was like crack. And then sure enough, absolutely, in the next episode of RFN, Johnny Metz says how it's like crack. So
it
I think Picross 3D is crack.
And it's like, I honestly think part of the reason it's so addictive is because it's actually, I think personally it's easier than the first Picross. I know that, like, because the depth makes you think it'll be harder, but the depth provides you with more clues to chip away
at. Yeah, once you wrap your head around, like, the tutorial's very good in doing this.
Very
once
good.
You wrap your head around the way the game works, it's very, very easy to manipulate everything.
Now, I have two questions. First is, You don't just go chipping away at blocks. It's kind of like Sudoku, isn't it? Like so many blocks in this row, and then so many blocks in this other row.
Yeah, I would definitely compare it to Sudoku.
Like basically, for every row, column, and I guess depth column or whatever, every straight line of blocks has a number on the outside, and that number tells you how many blocks have to stay. If there's a 2 on the outside of any given row, that means that you know there's 2 blocks in that column that have to stay. So basically, if you figured out what one of those 2 blocks are through the other clues in the puzzle, then you can chip away everything that's not like within a 2 block range of that one, right?
Oh, it sounds like the Voltorb game in Pokemon.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
That sounds fantastic.
I kind of see what you mean. Yeah, well, that's basically just Picross.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like
that's regular old Picross. Picross 3D is it puts it into the third dimension.
Yeah,
well, I'm very excited about the game. And they were saying on Player One podcast that there are too many tutorials. Like after 2 or 3, you're like, I get it. Let me play.
Well, then you can just skip it. You can just go in easy.
Really?
Like because I already played the tutorials at PAX East and actually played them at E3. But when I was trying to play it at PAX East, I just completely forgot it because it was a year before then.
Mm-hmm.
But because I played the tutorials recently, I just hopped right into the first difficulty. And
mm-hmm, sure.
I mean, only if you're a completionist do you have to go back and do it.
And there's also like a lot of different types of puzzles. Like there's just the regular ones where you're trying to reveal the object. There's also ones where you can't make any mistakes.
One hit challenges.
Yeah,
where there's you make one mistake, the construction challenges. The construction challenges close out each difficulty. There's easy, normal, and hard. And that's where like you're making a couple shapes and then they form something in the end. Right now I'm on the end of the normal one and I'm like halfway through the construction challenge.
There's 10 levels per difficulty. Each level
with
has,
a lot of other things interspersed.
Yeah, and each level has like 8 puzzles plus 2 bonus puzzles, and then there's usually like every second or third level, there's a bonus of some kind.
Hmm.
So yeah, there's a ton of content. Plus
there's
DLC.
I believe,
you can build your own puzzles, which is fantastic
yes.
too.
Basically, you like Zach. This would appeal to you.
Yeah,
you can make a pixel like just out of using the blocks and create something, and then it'll make a puzzle for you.
Oh, cool. Yep.
Honestly, like to me, this is exactly what the DS is good at. This is the
yes.
kind of game that I want to see on the DS. This is exactly why the DS works so well as a handheld compared to the PSP, because Nintendo knows what kind of software to put on it. Not to knock PSP games, because some of them are very good, but this is exactly the kind of game that they do very well on the DS. And this is exactly the kind of game that explains why the DS is so successful, in my opinion. This game knocks it out of the ballpark. This game is everything a DS owner is looking for in their games.
I
think I probably said this on the last episode, but there are, I believe, 365 puzzles on the game,
mm-hmm.
and then there are
then
200
more
that are offered as downloadable content that I haven't even gotten to there at all yet.
No,
I'm
haven't either.
I'm about 225.
Is there a versus multiplayer in this game, Neil?
I believe there's not.
There's not. The first one, Picross had it.
Yeah, no, it seems like this is a little bit I've never owned Picross DS, but I played a little bit of it, and I read up on it when I was interested in Picross 3D.
Sure.
And I don't think this has all the like the frills as Picross DS, but there's still a lot of cool things in it.
I'm not sure Picross DS had that many frills, but yeah, it did have online multiplayer.
Well, it had like the daily Picross mode and stuff like that.
Sure,
this just has
true.
Its like puzzles.
I kind of like this way better. I don't like trying to I don't like trying to decipher what all the modes really mean. Just give me a list of puzzles and let me work my way through it.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all I got to say about Picross 3D. $20.
Oh,
pick it up.
Fuck.
Go buy it. I'd like to have my review up by early next week. I just want to get through. I want to try to get through all the way through normal difficulty so I can try some puzzles on hard before I try writing a review about the game. But the problem is the difficulty levels are epic. It takes forever to get through them. So I'm thinking it may
Zach, what was it? What
to...
was that? Oh, fuck.
No, I accidentally didn't switch my Eevee out against the Elite Four, and I thought I was about to get killed.
Oh, God,
okay,
damn,
I thought that was something pertinent to the show.
No,
okay,
it was not.
Fantastic. So yeah, once I get through normal, or once my wife gets through normal, so I can steal a puzzle from her account, because she's farther than I am, go figure. then I'll write up my first draft of the review, and I'm hoping to have that done by Friday, so you can read the review early next week. But short
Yay.
Version, buy this game. $20, you can't
Hell
go
yeah.
wrong. And the other game I have to talk about very, very, very briefly is called Easy Piano. It's for DS. It's like Guitar Hero, but with a keyboard and incredibly poorly made. It's also not like Guitar Hero because it has the ability for you to compose a 3-minute song using the attached plastic piano peripheral. And I'm kidding you not. It does come with a GBA slot piano.
Yep.
So you are pretty much like the ruler of the bullshit things that you can put in the GBA slot because you also have Band Hero.
Yeah, absolutely.
Andy loves putting things in slots.
It just fits in there so nicely. This is what I'm saying. usually, I have it completely covered up, so it's a surprise, really.
The whole space is filled.
Yeah, generally, nothing can get in because it's covered up. But then, you just got to pull it out and put it right back in. That's all.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
But
in and out.
Yeah, the easy piano thing. Like I played through one of the song lists, like the classical song list. The Guitar Hero mode of this thing is awful. It
reminds me kind of Jam Sessions. I reviewed that last fall, and that's the same kind of thing where it's like it tries to practically teach you guitar, like with like using the DS touchscreen and stuff.
I haven't tried
and
the.
Then it tries to be Guitar Hero, and it's just awful.
I haven't tried the lessons part of this yet. I've only played the Guitar Hero mode and the composition mode. And the Guitar Hero mode is completely abysmal. It doesn't even it hardly even works because it doesn't seem to really care when you actually hit the thing. It seems to be arbitrary whether or not you get a hit or not. The composition mode actually seemed to be a little more impressive than I was expecting. Like, it seems to be good enough to, like, actually put your notes into the rhythm that you are playing on. So, like, it'll auto-correct what you're playing to actually make it into the correct rhythm. But I haven't... I'm not a composer, so I don't really know what to do to, like, test that out. But, and then there is a lessons mode that actually teaches you how to you know, play piano, but I haven't done too much with that yet. I think it's kind of interesting that the character that shows up on the top screen during the Guitar Hero mode is like basically like a middle-aged woman who you can like customize her dress, and that's like it.
Yes.
You can like customize what she's wearing, and I think maybe you can customize what color your piano is and what like type of background there is, but I haven't figured out how to go about actually customizing this yet. Maybe I have to take the lessons to do that. I don't know, but...
You've unlocked a new dress.
It's fascinating that this game exists, I guess, is what I'm getting at. and I haven't quite figured out what to do with this game yet. I don't know if I want to like write a review about it or if I want to just do a video blog and kind of show the world what
this thing is. You should do that like what I did with Zipperface.
Zipperface?
Zipperface?
What that is?
I love how that's what you call it now, Zipperface.
Yeah, the 2-in-1 padded puppet pouch.
Oh, God. See, I
remember he's been away from the game for a while.
That's right.
I can't get to the site. I can't get to the site during the day, and at night I'm too damn tired. But,
well,
yeah,
Zipperface is an abomination that I had to review, but John told me to just blog it. So that's what I did.
Yeah. See, I want to do a video blog of this thing, but I don't know that a video of just me playing it would be all that interesting. So I'm trying to think of something better than that to do, but... I haven't quite solved that puzzle yet, but that's all I really have to say about it. Let's go ahead and move on. I think Zach, you're up next on the list.
Oh, well, I've been playing a lot of Pokemon Heart Gold,
which is a review copy, so it doesn't matter that it's 2 months old.
It's only about 2 months old by now.
Yeah.
No, I am playing a absolute piece of crap that I hate so much. I hate it. Do I have to go on?
This lovely game is?
Oh, this lovely game is called TAC Heroes Big Red One. Not the Big Red One, just Big Red One. Like they ran out of room.
So, just tell us, like, just what the hell is this game? Because I've heard you complain about how terrible it is, but I have no idea what this game is for the life of me.
Okay, so it's a turn-based... turn-based strategy game that takes place on a grid, and you have like 10 soldiers. It supposedly takes place in World War II, but it's historically inaccurate. Like, I don't remember the Americans invading France in 1942. I don't think that happened. Maybe I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, correct me, but you have these 10 soldiers, and the game takes place on a grid that's made of little octagons, tiny little octagons. And so each of your guys is like a piece. It looks like a game piece. And the objective is to kill everybody, kill the opposition on every map. But the maps don't look like environments. They look like something out of Tron, but without any color. So you're moving these little peg men around, and when you tap on them, they have like a billion stats, and they can do like 80 different things, and you just instantly lose all interest because you're like, I don't want to do all this for whatever I have to do. And guys can get killed, and they can level up if they survive to the next map, and it looks like an NES game. I mean, it really does. God, it's just awful.
Is this game on Wii or DS?
It's on the DS, but... God, it's bad. It's on the DS, but it looks like a Game Boy Color game.
Okay.
And there's a map, but the map doesn't take into consideration the octagons. So you really just have a slab of color up there with dots representing your guys and the other guys. And it doesn't take topology into account. It's a clusterfuck of a game. I hate it so much. And I really hope Dementium 2 gets here soon so that I can play that instead.
I hope it does too.
But I really hate this game, and oh my gosh, I just can't even talk about it without getting angry.
I guess I will take the reins here and talk about something that's actually cool.
Yay!
I got to go to Nintendo headquarters last week.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Because of the whole Photo Dojo thing, I believe I talked about how I was going to New York City to participate in this Photo Dojo media tournament.
You
on freaking the last
won the tournament.
And then I ended up, I won the New York tournament, which meant that I got to be flown out to Nintendo of America headquarters in Redmond, Washington. And I got to be in the finals, which I was kind of aware that there was a new Nintendo of America building, but it didn't really dawn on me that I was going to be one of the first journalists to see the new building.
Oh.
Rather fantastic. And, yeah, so I went out there, and I participated in this Photo Dojo tournament, and I ended up winning the whole damn thing. I beat the, you know, all the people in New York. I beat the people from San Francisco and LA who won, and I beat Nintendo's Bill Trinan, and I won
the
tournament.
Yeah.
I have this trophy.
That
it's
is so freaking
it's like
awesome.
A it looks like a spray painted DS. There's pictures. They should be going up on the site soon. It's kind of they're up on Facebook, but that's because Lauren knows how to work Facebook more or better than she knows how to work the site.
Neil, is Bill Trinan the guy who was showing us like Wii Fit and Mario Bros at E3 last year?
No. That was that's David Young. He was actually the MC for the whole event.
Okay.
But Bill Trinan, he was on stage at the press conference last year. I believe he was showing off. He was the person that Reggie was playing basketball with.
Oh, gotcha. Skinny
conference.
Guy.
Yeah. But he was the Nintendo Ninja, and in Photo Dojo, how you can record all the sounds and stuff. It was funny. His entry thing was, "No one expects a Ninja Inquisition," which made me laugh a lot.
Yeah.
And then I kicked the shit out of him. Like, I don't mean to be talking smack, but like, I am an idiot savant at this game. I don't really get it. But like, I think overall, like, I think I lost about 3 matches. And now basically everything was a best 2 out of 3 match. And in New York, like, I had never really played the game before. I saw it at PAX East, but like, I was kind of drunk and walking around the show floor and I played it. So I don't really remember too much, but in the New York one, like, I think I had to do 4 matches at the New York one, and I think I only lost twice throughout the entire thing. And then in the Seattle one, I lost once and tied once, and then won like 8 matches or something. Like,
nice.
I don't get it. Like, I don't really think I'm that good at this game, but
are
I
you
guess
mashing
I am.
Buttons?
No, like, I did develop a strategy because I realized, I don't know, I know, Zach, have you played this game at all?
I got it, but I haven't played it yet, because I've had no time, but it looks cool. Like, it has you, it when you sit down to play it, it's like, you're going to need to take some pictures and record some sounds. Can you do that right now? And I was like, nope, I'm in the bathroom.
But, I played it with my friends recently, so I can talk about it a little more, too, is that because I got a couple of my friends all make characters, and then we all fought each other. And it's a great game, because you can play it on one DS system. And what it is that, like, one person will be, like, using the D-pad and the L button, and the other person will be using the face buttons and the R button.
That's cool.
And, you know, like...
That would work really well on the XL.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of what it's almost meant for. That's what we played on. Well, we didn't play on in the finals because they were using, like, a debug unit to put it up on a screen. Because we were in Cafe Mario, and, you know, Nintendo employees could come and watch me kick the crap out of everyone.
Is the DSi XL really that huge?
It is really, really big. But, the viewing distance is awesome. Like, at the New York one, we used an XL. And, like, I was, like, across the fucking room, and I could just watch the other people playing.
Nice.
But, So you have like it's a 2D fighter, so you're using the D-pad or the face buttons to move around and like up his jump, down his duck, and basically the L or R button, the shoulder button, is how you attack. I believe forward attack is a punch, just regular attack is a kick, back attack is a fireball, which my fireball was Lauren's head. And then I had her going, I'm gonna get you, and I ended up kicking everyone's ass with that. Yeah, and then there's awesome. Also a signature move, and there's four different styles that you can pick, and each one's signature move is different. So, like, one is, like, kind of like, I forget the name of it, it's the spinning kick that Ryu does, and I think it's like...
Shoryuken? Something...
Is it Shoryuken?
Shoryuken, the uppercut.
Yeah, I think it's something, it's the spinning... No, it's a spinning leg kick. I forget what it is.
Tatsumaki Senpukayaku.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, yeah.
Tatsumaki Senpukayaku, yeah. It says
so
it really fast.
One where it's like three smaller fireballs get set up. The one that I liked is basically where you just like pounce on people, which worked for me. And then you also have desperation moves. So if you're low on health, you touch the touch screen, and you have desperation move, which one is like you spin in a ball and fly at a person. One is like a big fireball will be launched in the air. One you grow huge. It's really zany, and
that's
there's
awesome.
Definitely a degree of strategy in it too. So it's a really kick-ass game.
Awesome.
And that kind of covers that for the downloads. So we'll just skim over that when we get there. But as far as the actual headquarters, I wrote a blog post about it, and you should go read that. But it's the new building is absolutely gorgeous. Like there's bamboo flooring. It's all green and stuff, which is cool. And they have the buildings. It's four floors, but the three floors are divided in quadrants. So there's like a Mario quadrant, a Wario one, a Yoshi one, and a Donkey Kong quadrant.
Hmm.
And all the different conference rooms are named after, you know, Nintendo themed things. But what confused me is the guy who took us on the tour of the headquarters made a comment about how they're all supposed to fit with their characters. But I was looking at some of the names of them, and like some of them were like, you know, like Rambi. There was a Rambi conference room in the Donkey Kong quadrant, and like Espresso. I think there was a Funky Kong conference room, and like in Mario, there was Hooktail with Koopa, which is kind of ridiculous that's there. And I think there was like, you know, like a One Up Mushroom conference room. But in Yoshi, they had Smash Brothers, Samus, and like Metroid. Like, what the hell does that have to do with Yoshi?
No, yeah.
I just like, and they said like that we
Grab
had this list
bag.
Of over 50 names. Like, maybe you should have picked someone different from Yoshi if
Boshi.
You had to. Yeah, put Boshi. I would love to be in conference room Boshi. It'd just be like a conference room that would be pissed off because the attention is all on Yoshi, and it would also have a pair of sunglasses just on the door.
Yeah,
at all times. And the. Probably the coolest thing about the building is the fourth floor, which is, it's smaller than the other ones, and it's on, they have like, it's a green deck, so it's like, there's like grass laid out on the actual roof, and then they have like two rooftop decks, which are beautiful, and like look out over, you know, throughout Redmond, which is a really, really nice area, and I think it just so happened that the days that I was out there was absolutely beautiful, and the fourth floor is Zelda-themed. So there's, you know, Link, Zelda, Ganon, and Master Sword conference rooms. There's a little Zen garden. But it's just like, it's such a beautiful building. And that floor is especially beautiful. And
are there pictures of the Nintendo characters on the doors or something?
No. I mean, they're just regular conference rooms, it seemed. But they do have, like, you know, like, I mean, there's pictures of Mario everywhere.
You know, it'd be interesting to work there and you get a conference, you know, conference notice and it's like, we're meeting in the Metroid room.
Come to Ground Pound right now.
Yeah.
Urgent
I wonder which conference room, which conference room it is that they bring you in and lay you off.
Yeah. It's probably Ganon.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the lost
Wario.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really, really cool experience, just in general, and it's really like, I don't think that's ever going to happen again. And I'm very, very fortunate to even be able to go to Nintendo headquarters.
Hell yeah, that's awesome.
That's very awesome, dude. That's fantastic.
Yeah. There
you go.
And that's pretty much what I've been reviewing, I guess. I also put up a review for Globulous Party, but I'll mention it there if we're done.
You should mention our. You should mention the WiiWare thing.
Oh, yeah, the WiiWare feature just finished up. That started last week. It was for the two-year anniversary of WiiWare, and we had, you know, some staff favorites. I know there were some misses, like we didn't have Toki Tori or any of the Phoenix Wright games represented.
True man.
Not my fault, guys. People on staff, you know, if they were passionate about the game and wrote it up, it was included. I mean, that was just kind of how I did it, because I do not have the funds to go out and be like, well, I heard Toki Tori was really good, so I'm going to go buy it. And
yeah.
I graduated. I don't have a job right now. I'm broke. I can't do that. I could have done that with a DSiWare feature because I still had a job and was in school.
So I haven't gone back to look. Was there a big debate over whether or not Worlds of Goo should be in there or World of Goo?
No, I don't think anyone can really refute the fact that World of Goo is a good game. I just think some people can. I think it is worth arguing to say that World of Goo isn't as incredible as everyone says it is. But I mean, I think it's a fantastic game.
I played the demo. I didn't get it.
Yeah. No. I mean, and I don't think you suck or anything for thinking that. I can completely understand that you don't get enraptured by the game, but it's a solid game.
Sure.
I liked the game more as I played it. I think the story grew
of the game. It gets crazy when you get near the end.
Yeah, the story and the aesthetic was very, very appealing to me.
You wrote up for World of Goo, and it was a good write-up.
It's the only one that I did. I did that one.
Yay! And I also had another Extra Life go up today, Dementium. And
that's right, I read
Lost
that. That
Winds.
Was good.
Oh,
the map sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah, Dementium was a game that looks really cool. It's just the map fucking blows. I died at one point and then had to restart a half an hour back.
Mm-hmm.
And I do this where I play an hour chunk. And to go back a half an hour, well, that's when I stopped playing the game, because I was about 45 minutes in and I went a half an hour back. And I was just like, nope, screw you, game.
That's harsh.
I'm never playing that again.
I'm surprised you didn't find the handgun, because they just hand you that shit right out of the gate.
Yeah, no, I never found it. Like, whatever, I'm done with it. I hope Dementium 2 is better. All right, so that does it for what you're reviewing. And let's move on to this week in downloads, or these past 2 weeks in downloads.
Yeah.
First up is BitChirp Runner from Axis Games and developed by Gaijin Games. It's $8 as opposed to the other BitChirp games, which are $6 or 600 points. And have either of you guys gotten BitChirp Runner?
Nope.
No, but I saw your comment about it on Twitter.
Yes. I kind of have a love-hate relationship with BitChirp Runner right now. I got it. It looks like an awesome game. It's a rhythm platformer. But my one beef with it is that it's still brutally hard, just like every other BitChirp game. But it's kind of a brutally hard that I'll deal with more, because I like the idea of platformers. I love platformers, as a matter of fact. And it's a really cool game. But the thing that really, and I made this comment on Twitter, and I think I made it in the forums too, about imagine if you're playing a song in Guitar Hero, and you fuck up one note, and then you have to restart the entire song. Because that's how BitChirp Runner is that the levels, I would call the levels as, you know, little songs, or big songs in some case, and it's like, if you fuck up, you have to restart the entire thing.
I think I'll skip it.
I mean, it's a really, really cool game. Like, I think I'm on, like, it's broken up in the same way, is that there's three different levels. It's just that there are, like, I think it's 12 levels within each world or whatever, or 12 stages in each level, and there's three levels, and I'm about halfway through the third level right now.
And when you say rhythm platformer, I instantly think of the running game in Let's Tap.
Well, okay, this is how it is that you're always in motion. So, like, the level will start, and your little commander video, the little, like, you know, pixel guy, he's just running. Like, that's just how it always goes. And what you do is, like, one button will jump, one button will kick, one button, like, you can tap down on the D-pad to duck. Later on, you can put up a shield to block things.
Hmm.
And, I mean, that's all you do. It's just that you need to look at the obstacles in front of you and avoid them however you can.
I see.
But, I mean, really, The one thing that I'm going to say about this game, and I'm not going to linger on it too much, is that there is one level in particular, 1-11, that is hell. It is so frustrating. I almost just stopped playing the game because of it, because there's each stage there are gold bars that, like, look like something out of Pitfall. And if you collect them, then you get to go to a bonus stage that literally does look like Pitfall. And there's, like, in most stages, you know, there's, like, you know, some of the early ones, it's, like, 10. As you get later on, you know, there's about, like, 20, maybe 30 gold bars. 1-11 has 93.
Uh-huh.
Whoa.
So that it's just, it's so frustrating. And you could get right near the end and make one fucking mistake, and then you have to restart the entire level over.
How long does the level take?
It's a couple minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very fast-paced, but it's just very frustrating when that is a very, very long level. And you make one mistake, you have to restart the entire thing. But once you get past that, like, it's weird, because I think that was the hardest point in the game. And that was, you know, 1-11, and I'm on, like, 3-5 now. And, I mean, it's tough, but because they're shorter levels, it works really well, I think. And I think if they wanted to have longer levels, then just have it where you have to get hit 3 times and then you die or something.
Mm-hmm.
I really love it. And the third level really kind of is giving me... It's the type of thing that's like area 5 in Res, where it's just something where, like, okay, you know, I get how this rhythm is, and then you get to the third level and you're like, wow, this music is incredible, and look at everything around me. But I'm digging it. I'm definitely going to try to play it to completion.
I'll probably get this eventually. Like, I really like the other Bitra games that I've played, so I'll be picking this up eventually, but I think I'm a little hesitant now just because of your first early comments about it being pretty brutally hard. But I mean,
it's really, in all honesty, it's just 1-11. The okay. Rest of the game is fine. Like, I mean, it's tough, but it's not like pull your hair out tough, except for 1-11.
Is it more difficult than Bit Trip Beat?
No, at least for me. I mean, that's just okay. I think that's just how I am as a player. Bit Trip
Beat
better
is
with platformers.
Very difficult, I think.
Yeah, I definitely think it's one of the easier ones, just because I think it's more of a concept that I think makes sense to more people, or at least I know to me, Bit Trip Runner is an easier game. But I feel like that could be a variable.
I may have to get this.
Yeah, I would highly recommend it.
I wish it was 600 points, but oh well. Can't complain too much.
I'm a little bummed out about that, I won't lie. And also right, on WiiWare from this week, we have Blood Beach from Coresoft Inc. It's 1,000 Wii points. And you are hopelessly outnumbered and have no choice but to fight and win. Just you, your guns, and the thin stretch of Blood Beach stand between you and the entire Japanese Imperial Navy. You have an impressive arsenal of weapons, including the M2 BMG, 40mm M1, and of course, your Thompson SMG. But the Imperial Japanese Navy will hit you with everything they can muster. Zeros, Bettys, and even Taiko? I can't pronounce things. Class battleships, and their methodical and relentless push to recapture the Solomon Islands. High scores can be saved for easy, normal, and hard levels of difficulty.
Well,
sounds like a twin-stick shooter, but I have no idea if it is or not.
I guess it's a war game. I'm sorry, everyone, that we have no idea what this game is. I believe that Carl showed interest because it's called Blood Beach. I don't know.
Yeah. I meant to YouTube this, and I didn't do it, but I was going to. Thought that counts,
there
right?
There was intent. Yes. There was intent. Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Trials and Tribulations came out on WiiWare. It's also $10, just like the other two. And Phoenix Wright is back in the third game of the popular Ace Attorney franchise.
You should check out Radio Trivia Podcast Edition if you want to hear some music from Phoenix
Wright. Is that a
hint? It is a hint.
Oh,
fantastic. I actually just played the first Phoenix Wright most of the way to completion over the last few weeks. Borrowed it from Grant and finally got around to playing it, and I really, really enjoyed it. I may have to pick up the next couple on WiiWare.
Yeah, I think I'm probably going to go back and pick up maybe the second or the third one, because I beat the first one and I only played a little bit of the second and the third one. It was funny because I got the first one and was like, this is really cool, and got like 2 cases in. And I was telling my friend about it, and he went and bought that one and then, like, beat, like, 2 games in the next week, and I was still in the second case. But, yeah, that's Phoenix Wright. And the final WiiWare game for the past 2 weeks is Chess Challenge from Digital Leisure. It's a chess game. It's $5.
It's also on DSiWare.
It is.
Yeah.
I think it's
the same price for both, actually. 500 points for each.
Yes, they're both $5. It appears that the difference is that, you know, they take advantage of each respective platform's features. Like, the Wii one has Mii support and Wii Connect 24 stuff, and DS Wireless Play is available for Chess Challenge on DSiWare. And also on DSiWare, Photo Dojo, which is free until June 10th or June 11th is when it is when it's $2. So get it now. It's free. And in all honesty, I think it's totally worth the $2 when it does go up. I mean, it's really cool that they're offering it for free now, though.
It's so worth the $170 asking price.
Yes. And if you want to know why it's free, you can look at my interview with Bill Trinan following when I beat the crap out of him in the Photo Dojo. I should stop talking shit, but no one has really beaten me
his
yet,
tail
so.
Was behind his between his legs. He was cowering in fear.
Yes. I was like, answer my questions. Earthworm Jim also came to DSiWare from Gameloft. It's $5, and it's the classic action platformer you used to play on the Super Nintendo, and it's a remake that offers
the better version on Genesis
gameplay of the original. And there's a never-before-seen feature available exclusively on the DSi version.
It looks like crap.
You just use the built-in camera,
and you make facial expressions.
Facial expression-based challenges. So that's the addition. So it is like Rayman, where Rayman just adds where it takes a picture of you every time you save.
Oh.
Because it actually does in the game, too, which is cool.
But Earthworm Jim's a good game.
Yeah, no, Earthworm Jim is a fantastic game. And I imagine that, you know, if you want a portable platformer, you could go wrong in a lot of ways on the DS with portable platformers, and I don't think you can really go wrong with Earthworm Jim for $5.
And it's your only choice because Shantae's still not out.
Oh, you just had to mention that, didn't you?
Yes, Maxie, I will be saying that every week.
Next up, we have Flips the Enchanted Wood, which is another entry in Electronic Arts' Flips series. It's, it's some kind of like graphic adventure thing. Joe, Bessie, and Fanny move to the country and find an enchanted wood right on their doorstep. In the wood stands the magic faraway tree, and in that tree lives the magical characters that soon become their new friends. Moonface, Silky the Fairy, and Saucepan Man. Together they visit strange lands, the Roundabout Land, the Land of Ice and Snow, Toyland, and the Land of Take What You Want, that lie at the top of the tree. Get ready for exciting adventures and narrow escapes. The Flip series brings modern classics to the Nintendo. This isn't a modern classic. Don't lie to me, whoever writes these press releases. This is no modern classic, I'll tell you this.
Photo Dojo is a modern classic.
Yeah, like, I call that a modern classic, but that is a bold-as-shit statement, and it's not true.
Yeah, it seems like we're getting these flips pretty much every single week now.
Is very true, because there was another one the very next week. Flips More Bloody Horowitz.
Yep. That's like a whole bunch of horror stories, it sounds like.
Yeah,
three of them, I guess.
Best-selling creator of Alex Rider, which I believe there was a movie about that a number of years ago, in which I think he used a DS.
Really?
Like, literally used a DS to do things.
Well, go figure.
Alex Rider Stormbreaker, I think. I remember reading about it. I think that's it.
Good news for book readers on the DS platform, I guess.
Yeah.
All four of you.
I mean, there's always Surviving High School, too, which is still... it's one of my personal favorites. Things ever written on these press releases.
It is a true modern classic.
You can work at an ice cream store and take on a local mobster or some shit. God, that is a modern classic, and I haven't even played that game.
Fantastic. What about that game last week where they didn't even, or the last episode where they didn't even explain what the game was?
Bounce and Break, I think.
Yeah.
I like having the excuse to read these very in-depthly.
Mm-hmm.
But let's move on to a game on DSiWare that actually looks quite interesting. It's called Luxley's Lineup. And despite the stupid name, it's a $5 game, and you basically move the DSi and use the camera to look around in 3D space. And so I believe it locks on to it takes a picture of you, and then that's where your eyes are. And then you move the DS around to try to get it to line up the diorama that you're looking at to have a letter, and then to find a letter, and different letters. Apparently, it's very hard.
It sounds interesting, though.
Yeah, it does sound very interesting. And if it weren't for the fact that right now my DSi is actually in the shop because my shoulder buttons weren't working.
Yeah, but my top screen's going out. I might have downloaded this.
But. By the way, it's been over a year since I got my DSi, and it was free of charge to repair it. Thank you, Nintendo customer service.
Nice.
Yeah, and I was playing Phoenix Wright, I noticed that the top screen would go white occasionally. And like if I put just the right pressure on the hinge, my top screen goes out. So
yeah, my shoulder buttons always gave me trouble. And then like I was trying to play Photo Dojo with a friend of mine, and we couldn't play it. Yeah. I've actually been using Lawrence DSi because she left it at my house.
I fully expect that within 6 months I'll have to send my DS Lite in, but I'd rather send it in and get it repaired and have it on hand than replace it with a DSi only to have the next DS come out within 3DS, the next 6 months. Yeah. So.
Yep. And also we have Frogger Returns coming out on DSiWare from Konami. This has also come out on WiiWare.
This is like the 70,000th edition of Frogger Returns, it feels like.
Yeah, because I think it's also on iPhone, it's on PSN, it's probably on XBLA.
Probably, yeah.
I mean, it's Frogger. I haven't really heard...
Where did he return from? Was he in rehab?
No, maybe.
It's like different... It's like the classic Frogger gameplay, but I think it's like different stages, like bigger stages.
Yeah.
As I understand.
Which is pretty cool. I mean, I could see people getting behind that.
Sure, yeah.
I haven't really heard anything bad about it. There's also a Topsy Turvy Life Turvy Drops from Tecmo.
This is actually interesting to me because you have to turn
your
DS
$2
upside down.
And it says you turn the DSi upside down and draw blocks on the touchscreen to fill spaces in this topsy turvy take on puzzle games. Play endless mode to see just how many points you can get as the blocks on the bottom screen fill faster and faster. The more blocks you clear at once, the higher your score. Play puzzle mode to test your brain against 30 mind-bending puzzles, and if you clear all the blocks within the specified time and turn limits, then you beat the level. Can you solve the puzzles before time is up? So, that actually does sound really, really neat.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I approve.
And on Virtual Console Week is Kirby Superstar for 800 points. It's a fantastic game, but there's that DS remake that I got recently, and I also own the game on Super Nintendo, so I'm not rushing out to buy this.
Yeah. I've never played it.
If you've never played
it
before, it's totally worth it. It's a great game.
I'm gonna have to get this. It's like six bigger games and two mini games, from what I read.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
It's the best Kirby game out there.
Fantastic. I'm gonna have to get it.
And getting into the week of the releases, we'll kick this off with Prince of Persia: The Forgotten Sands, which is coming out for Wii and DS. And I got the Wii version for review, and I got to play about 15-20 minutes of it. Not really too much right before the show. It kind of doesn't really look that good, and I know we were talking about before the show about how you guys were both saying in screens that it looked like it was going to be pretty good, but in motion it looks very dated. It looks like a GameCube game,
okay.
And that's kind of disappointing to me. But so far it seems to be, it's a Prince of Persia game. I'm jumping around. I haven't gotten to any of the pointer-controlled powers yet, but the controls seem to be spot on. I think the only worrisome thing that I've run into is that combat is a waggle fest.
Oh boy.
But hopefully that evolves, or you just don't fight that many things that often.
I was hoping this game would give me a good excuse to use my Classic Controller Pro, but it sounds like it's mostly nunchuck and remote.
Yeah, it's definitely, there's no Classic Controller support.
That's
but
too
there
bad.
Is a, they, I did unlock, you get it pretty early on, and it's weird because I don't know if you guys remember hearing about how the Prince of Persia Super Nintendo game is hidden in this. And they actually
That's right.
have on the cover, it says bonus full game, Prince of Persia 1992 included. And then I'm literally opening it up right now. And along with the manual, there was also a little, like, packing thing that's like, how to unlock your 1992 Prince of Persia bonus game.
Wait.
So it's not even like it's hidden. Like, it tells you literally, begin a new game on the second level after creating a magical bomb with Zara, explore behind the waterfall, drink the green potion found behind this waterfall. It's now unlocked. And then it says how to access Prince of Persia Classic. You go to the main menu, you go to extras, then choose bonus, followed by secret maps, select Prince of Persia Classic. I guess, I feel like maybe like they were like, we're going to have it be hidden. And then they're like, no, we're not.
Nope.
We're going to have it be very, very apparent.
Oh, I see what they're doing here. This is so if you buy it used, then you don't get that extra help. They're just trying to rip off people trying to buy it used.
Those sons
no.
of bitches.
This is dumb.
Yeah.
Did you guys? I edited the show, so I should know this. But did you guys mention the EA's online pass deal last week?
Oh no, we didn't.
No,
I didn't really give a shit about it.
Does it apply to Wii even at all?
I don't know.
I think it does because doesn't Madden have online?
Yeah,
play?
Like all the sports games are online. Like Grand Slam Tennis, Tiger Woods, Madden. Those
it just kind of reminds me of that. Like this is kind of out of place, and I'm not going to talk about it for more than a few seconds. But if you haven't heard. EA's doing this new thing with all their 2011 sports games where if you want to play online, you have to put in a code that comes with the game. Right. And if you buy the game used and therefore don't have the code, you have to pay $10 to get the online functionality. So if you're the kind of guy who buys a sports game about 6 months after it comes out used, well, understand that it's going to cost you extra to play online, which I think is...
My thing with that is actually, like, I mean, not now that we're actually going to talk about it for, I guess, very briefly, it makes sense, like, if it's, like, in the first 6 months that the game's out, I kind of could see that working. But I feel like it's, like with foot, like let's just use Madden for an example. Like from August to like February, like that holds true. Like for that, like the new football season. But like once the season ends, have it be free.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I totally agree.
Like I think in all honesty, that's kind of fair. Because I know that, you know, publishers are trying to fight against used game sales. And is it kind of douchey? Yeah, it's a little bit, but like they're also getting screwed out of money in the used game sales.
Mm-hmm. Well, like a friend of mine bought an Xbox 360 so that him and I could play the online dynasty mode on NCAA football, but he didn't want to go buy a brand new copy of NCAA 10 because the brand new one's going to come out and he's going to pay $60 for that in July. So we both paid $10 for NCAA 09. And we're playing Dynasty mode on that because really it's not that much different and I don't really care.
Yeah.
So we wouldn't have been able to do that, well, as cheap at least, if they had been doing this for the last couple of years. So
yeah, I mean, it definitely, to me, it makes sense to have it be like, you know, this year's game, you know, even if they want to be, you know, kind of a little dick and just have it be like the day that, like, you know, Madden 11 it comes out, the day that Madden 12 comes out, then Madden 11 Online is free.
Absolutely. That's a fantastic idea.
Like, even something like that. Like, I think that would be a way to do it without being, like, too much of an asshole.
You should go work for EA.
Hopefully. I need a job. Like, EA, if you heard that, I have a resume. I have – you can look at the site. I wrote
Clearly
things.
You're qualified.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
I made that comment. That was cool.
That's on page 4 of your resume.
Yes. And also coming out today, yesterday, May 18th, Trauma Team for Wii, which I also have for review. I kind of called both of these games. I didn't realize they were coming out.
God,
the same
I hate
day,
you.
I don't have a job. I just graduated college. I'm not doing shit. So these reviews
meanwhile,
will be getting
I have,
out by next
meanwhile,
week.
Meanwhile, I have TAC Heroes Big Red One.
You yeah. want me to send you my copy of Easy Piano, Zach?
Hey, I used to play piano a lot. I might be able to give you a fair... No, I don't want that.
Well, you couldn't play it anyway because you don't have a DS Lite, but still.
That's right.
Sucker. But Trauma Team, it's the latest in the Trauma Center series, but it's not quite like the other Trauma Center games because now there's like 6 different characters that you play as, and they each have a different specialty. Like there's new stuff. Like they have like investigative modes. I'm actually going to grab the case here just so I can read them off. There's forensics, orthopedics, surgery, diagnosis, endoscopy, and first response.
Okay.
And, like, the diagnosis and forensics modes are kind of like a... I've heard it in the past compared to kind of like a Phoenix Wright style, where you're investigating things and you have to draw conclusions and stuff like that, which it seems really cool, and I think they're going to keep the gameplay varied. And I was reading... I was looking over some of the reviews that came out for it, and apparently it's like a 40-hour game. Which
wow.
to me is mind-boggling. Like,
no
I,
kidding.
My Trauma Center experience isn't too much. I did the preview for Trauma Team a couple months back, and I was like, well, this sounds really awesome. So I got Trauma Center New Blood and played a bunch of that. But, I mean, that wasn't terribly long, but supposedly this game is like 40 hours long or something like that, which that's awesome.
Yeah,
and it's only I believe the game's only $40 as well, which
it is yeah.
super cool.
I really want to play it. I really do. It looks great.
Yeah. Have you played any of the other Trauma Center games?
I have not, but I forget who told me this, but in fact, it might have been the dude we talked to at E3. He was like, it might have been him, it might have been somebody else, but they were like, this, you don't have to have played the other games to get this one.
Yeah, I mean, that's the vibe that I've been getting from it, too. I mean, I was just curious in the series, and I found a deal for Trauma Center New Blood for $10.
Heck yeah. And I really like the moving comics.
Yeah.
For the cutscenes, that's I always like that.
And I think they're supposed to be even better this time around. Also coming out this week is Blue Dragon Awakened Shadow, which is coming out on DS. It's a strategy game. Once again, it's another Blue Dragon game. I believe there was one last year that was also on DS. the name escapes me right now, but Blue Dragon was the Mistwalker RPG mm-hmm. that came out on 360. And then we actually do have a Mistwalker game coming out. What's the name of it? The Last Story. That's the ticket. But Blue Dragon Awakened Shadow is coming out for DS. I believe we should be getting a copy of that, and Matt London should be reviewing it, or our man over in Canada. And the latest one's developed by Artoon, who are working on Fling Smash as well.
Okay.
Which is coming out in North America this summer, supposedly.
God, I forgot all about that.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that at E3, but that's neither here nor there.
I'm gonna have to reserve that review copy before you can get your hands on it, Neil.
I feel like someone might have had it. But...
Blast.
You can double check.
But, I will do that
anyway. And the big gun is what we're gonna close the show on. Super Mario Galaxy 2 is hitting stores this Sunday.
Hells
are
yeah.
you guys psyched or are Fantastic. You guys psyched?
I'm actually kind of annoyed because I signed up for my 1 month trial of Amazon Prime specifically for this game's release, thinking I might actually get it on Sunday or maybe Monday.
It doesn't have release date delivery.
No, it doesn't. And not only that, it's not even coming on Monday. It's scheduled to show up on Tuesday.
That's bullshit.
Shit. I have it off Amazon too, but I think I'm probably going to buy it in the store on Sunday, and I will just return my Amazon copy because I have the $20. You get the $20 gift certificate, the $20 like Amazon thing to another video game, and I want that.
I'm very excited about this game. Of course, I mean,
Mario Galaxy. You want to go to there.
Mario Galaxy remains the only Mario game that I've completed 100%, except for the bullshit Luigi crap at the end. but yeah, I loved Galaxy. Can't wait for Galaxy 2. Although, to be honest, I'm having a little bit of trouble like getting super excited about it, just because I'm not really in the mood for a Mario game right now.
I'm so in the mood.
But I'm pretty sure that once I get it in my hands, I'm gonna play it nonstop. So
I cannot wait.
Yeah,
I hope it's more satisfying than New Super Mario Bros.
I believe it will be.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I still haven't beat
that
game.
I like New Super Mario Bros. I really enjoyed that game. It's just that I don't really have much interest in playing it again. I think the only time I'm going to play it again is if, like, well, for instance, my 3-year-old niece is all about that game. So I will totally play that game with her.
Is she good at it?
No, I carry her through every level. She's 3 years old.
You're Toad. She's Toad.
Yeah, well, she sometimes when I'm the first player, she wants us both to be Toads, and I'm like, that can't happen, and she gets pissed off.
She can do co-star mode.
Yeah.
But co-star mode is so worthless.
Oh, boy.
In all honesty, like, that is a reason why I think co-star mode is good, is that I could probably play Super Mario Galaxy with my 3-year-old niece, and she can do something. And, you know, still be playing the game, even though she's not really playing the game, so to speak.
Sure.
Right.
That's I think, the success of Co-Star Mode.
Yes.
The only thing that could actually prevent me from playing Mario Galaxy 2 next week is if I literally cannot put Picross down.
And yes.
That's a real possibility.
Just glued to your hand.
I had trouble with that, but then Lauren kind of stole it. No, like, because we both had finals and stuff, so she would have it, and then I would have it, and we'd be switching whenever we had more work to do.
Yeah. But, yeah, of course I'm looking forward to this one. Can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's so close yet so far.
It'll get delayed, right?
Yeah, I mean, it could happen.
It'll get delayed on Friday afternoon.
They'll be like, sorry guys, I hope you like getting shit in your cereal.
Late July, sorry.
Yeah, like we have a shipment delay. Who are you, Atlas? Like...
Sorry, we had to add a star. Your review copies are void.
Yes.
Oh, Lord. Anyway,
Well, that's all we got for this episode of NWR Newscast, which is the 18th episode. Wow.
I know, right? We didn't talk about Kirby Superstar.
Yeah, we did.
We mentioned it.
Oh, did we? Was I just asleep or something?
Probably.
You were probably playing Pokemon.
Yeah.
That's potentially true. Kirby Superstar is awesome, and you should buy it instead of the DS game.
Absolutely.
Now, why do you say that instead of the DS game?
Well, first off, the DS game is going to be hard to find nowadays, but second, Kirby Superstar is 800 points, which means $8 instead of $30.
I agree to that.
And from what TYP tells me, the sound is a little messed up on the DS port.
Oh, really? I did not notice that. I think it's because I didn't really play it with the sound on. I think I played it on an airplane or something along those lines. So.
But Kirby Superstar is my favorite, my second favorite Kirby game after Kirby's Adventure.
How about Canvas Curse? We got stuck up there.
Oh, Canvas Curse is hella good, but it's not a proper Kirby platformer. You know?
Fair enough.
Yeah, I love.
Where the hell is Canvas Curse 2 at?
I know, right?
Yeah.
That was the only good launch game for the DS.
It wasn't a launch game.
Was it even a launch game?
It was like 6 months after launch.
Oh, was it?
Man, the DS was a barren landscape for the first 6 months, I seem to recall.
Yeah, it was.
I remember that back in the day.
Yoshi's Topsy-Turvy or whatever the hell it was called.
I like Touch and Go.
Touch and Go.
I never played it, but...
It wasn't really that bad. It was
cool. It was a tech demo for $35.
Yeah.
I will agree with that, but I still think it was pretty cool.
Anyway, Kirby Superstar is cool and you should buy it.
Will do.
Yeah.
I'm on it. Promise.
I probably won't because I own it for Super Nintendo and still have the DS.
So do I.
I've never played it. I'm on it.
I'm like, hey.
Oh, you've never played it, Andy?
Nope.
Dude, it's good.
I played the NES Kirby game.
Yeah, that's the best one.
But I think I have the 64 game on Virtual Console, but played a little bit of it and didn't like it that much.
Yeah, I got the 64 game on Virtual Console. I enjoy that game a lot.
Kirby's Dream Land 3 is not bad either.
That's on Game Boy, isn't it?
No, that's the last one of the last Super Nintendo games ever released.
Talk about Kirby afterwards.
Oh, yeah, we could probably do that. All right. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in.
Yep. Nice talking to you.
Yeah. I regret to inform everyone that unless we change our schedule, you guys aren't going to hear from me for like a month on this show.
Okay.
Because I will be in Cozumel in 2 weeks, and then I will be in E3 2 weeks after that. So
what's Cozumel?
It's in Mexico.
Oh, Mexico.
Yes, Mexico.
That's Mexican for city.
Yeah, and then you're going to E3, you fucker.
Sorry.
So,
my bad.
We'll need to put out the call and see who on staff wants to fill in for Neil while he's gone.
Yeah, if you actually got this far,
yeah,
email us at newscast@nintendoworldreport.com, staff members.
That's a fantastic idea.
It is.
Whoever listens to this first, you get to be on the show.
And we have a Twitter account, although I'm really bad about updating it, and no one seems to ever reply to
it.
But it's there.
Yeah.
Twitter.com/NWRNewscast.
Newscast episode 18. I'll see you guys in like a month or so. You'll probably hear from me in some other capacity. But...
Yeah. Have fun down there.
That sounds likely.
Don't turn into a drug mule.
Yeah, that's true.
I have to come back for E3.
All right. Farewell. Good night.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.